Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 19, we were taught that Michal lied about David to Saul and his messengers because she did not trust God to protect David. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We next see Michal, David's wife, the daughter of Saul. She's a religious contemporary to the world. Now let's see how that is. In verses 11 through 17, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him." And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed, with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, "Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he has escaped?" And Michal answered Saul, "He said unto me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill thee?'" Well, now we see deceit, lying, thoughtlessness. I believe that Michal has what many people think is a modern-day philosophy of Marxism, but really it's as old as dirt, and it was dirt, and so it's old as dirt. But that philosophy is, the end justifies the means. Now, people believe all methods of worship and worldliness is okay if you can get people here. But when we do that, the word repent loses its meaning. Does it not? Notice, she had an image in the house. She had compromised her religion. She shouldn't have had an image in the house. Now, there's a, when we say compromise, the word compromise has this. Here's a standard. And we go from that standard to obtain a goal somewhere else. And to meet that goal, we have to compromise with somebody that is opposite our standard. Now, my friend, if you're saved, you're a Christian listening to this broadcast, your standard is the Word of God, the Bible. I hope that is your standard today. There is nothing in the Bible, no teaching of the Word of God, that is to be compromised. There's no unimportant teaching in God's Word that we can compromise it to have peace with the world. God's Word always, 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 my friend, takes precedent over the compromises, the philosophies, and the friendships of the world. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 30, verses 2 through 6. Listen as I read. The writer of Proverbs, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, states, "Surely I am more brutish." You say, what does that word brutish mean? Just think of stupid. That's basically what it means. "I am more stupid than any man." Okay, "I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man." Well, we could say this guy has a self-esteem problem, is what the world would say. But it's the Holy Spirit speaking through the pen of the man, so maybe it's an accurate testimony, which I believe it is. He goes on to say, "I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy." Now, let me just insert this, and sometimes when you're a fundamentalist, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, and you have standards and so forth, it bothers us when we hear contemporary music because it's sin. It bothers us when we see young ladies, or older ladies for that matter, in immodest dress. Why? Because it's sin. And people continue in that, and they don't see it as sin. And that's the truth. You know why? They don't have the knowledge of the holy. They lack the capacity to see those things as sin because they lack the knowledge of the holy. Now it goes on in Proverbs 30, verse 4, "Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell?" You notice that? Talking about creation, the Creator doesn't even give an argument for creation, states it as a fact, but it mentions his son's name. This is talking about Jesus 1,000 years before he's ever on earth. You see, the Old Testament taught the first coming of Jesus and his humanity. He goes on in Proverbs 30, verse 5, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." And my friend, every word of God is pure, and it is preserved. Therefore, when you look at verse 3, wisdom and the knowledge of the holy, lacking that, or verse 2, being brutish, stupid, more so than any man, and not having the understanding, it's because they haven't taken this word of God and meditated therein to know God and his word intimately. If you do, he becomes a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You put your trust in him by living by this word. And then there's a warning in verse 6, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Oh, my friend, what a warning that is. Don't add to the words of God. Don't take away from this Bible. Don't add to it. Take away from it. Boy, I tell you, with all these translations that are going out, I fear for those men that are doing that, because the judgment of God is near unto them. He says, "Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee." When you corrupt the word of God, God is ready to judge. Let me just warn you, if as a Christian, you begin to misuse the word of God, use corrupted versions of God's word, expect the chastening of God. Why? Because judgment begins at the house of God. And there's a reason he's judging. And one of the great reasons is for the corruption of the worship, and especially the corruption of the word of God. Well, now as we look here, again at our text, we see that Michael lies to the messengers. And it wasn't necessarily wrong to make the bed look like David was asleep in there, but it was wrong to lie about it. Now, she could have just put him in that little basket or whatever, that rope, and let him escape. He still had a full night's escape ahead of them. So, regardless, all she got was an extra hour or two by the time everybody got back to Saul and let him know what happened, and David was gone, and she just didn't trust God would protect him. She lies to the messengers. And then she tells her father when the father calls her in for doing that, "Well, David was going to kill me if I didn't." Now, she has delivered David. And now she thinks, well, now I've got to deliver myself. So the best thing to do is to tell them, well, David threatened me. That's a false charge against David. And now Saul can say, look, this guy's a criminal. He threatened to kill my daughter. We need to bring this man to justice. Wow. You see, it's never right to lie, and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. So she deceived her father as well as to lie to the messengers. And she deceived him as well as lied to him. And so we see the sin of her father, that sin of lying, being passed on, you might say. She, seeing how he's used it in his life, and because her heart's not right with God, she says, oh, well, work for Dad, it'll work for me. And she adopts this sinful thing. And basically, she lacked faith to see that God would deliver if she would be obedient to his word. She lacked faith. She lacked ethics and honor. She was thoughtless about Christ and his holiness. Again, if you don't meditate on his holiness, you too will be thoughtless. You don't meditate in his word, you too will lean more toward the flesh. You don't get into the study and absorption of God's word to obey it. Don't expect to be delivered when you're going through the trials of life. Oh, my friend, what a terrible thing to think God's holy ways are not sufficient for the hour. Now we read the rest of the chapter, verses 18 through 24, and we see that Samuel is a contemporary of Christ, not the world, but of Christ. He's Christ-like. He is a type of Christ. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.